Hey everyone, welcome to Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy. Whoa, what the hell has happened in the world since the last time we podcast? Oh my god. So we thought it'd be fitting if we did a rebroadcast of a previous episode on the history of gallows humor. That's right, gallows humor. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode because we have a hell of a lot of free time on our hands. Nothing to plug because all our live shows have been canceled. But please take some time to like, subscribe, and comment on Comedy History 101 either through our website, comedyhistory101.com, or via Twitter, Comedy History 101, Facebook, or Instagram. And without further ado,
you're stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Well, I'm gonna miss you, buddy. I guess this is the last time you get to hang.
Okay, so what you just saw there, or heard there, was, okay, imagine this, use the theater of the mind.
Right.
Two characters, animated, are both on the gallows in nooses, and as you just heard, one man said, okay, buddy, I guess this is the last time we're gonna hang. I.e., okay.
Yeah.
Gallows humor.
Right, the gallows. But that is actually technically humor on the gallows. I mean, like,
gallows humor on the gallows.
It's used as a phrase, you know, but you're actually describing it used on the gallows itself. So it's kind
well,
of
thus the origin of
right.
where it came from.
Start, though. Yeah.
And yes, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101,
where we school you in comedy. I, of course, am Harmon Leon. With me, of course, Scott Kalanico. Scott, do you have any gallows humor about what's going on in Berlin, where you live?
Well, I did when you were here. We did go by the Führer bunker, so there's lots of not joviality, but you know, we made a couple jokes about it, I think.
Ooh, you mean you joked about the Holocaust?
No, dude, no. It's not like you promoting a movie about Nazis on Facebook, dude.
Yeah, it's a great movie, Jojo Rabbit, directed by the guy who directed the Flight of the Conchords TV show.
Yeah,
and it's fucking awesome.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it's not pro-Nazi. There's Schindler's List. Is that a pro-Nazi movie that features Nazis?
It's very anti-Nazi.
So I'm kind of thinking this one's pretty anti-Nazi as well.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see.
So, see it.
Okay, I'm done.
There you go. I'm done. All right. So, Scott, in your mind, what is gallows humor? What is the definition of gallows humor, which is the topic for today's episode here on Comedy History 101, where we school you on comedy. Subscribe today.
If I could give kind of the dictionary term, it would be gallows humor. It's kind of humor that's in the face over. It's about very unpleasant, serious, or painful circumstances. You know, so something that's when you're staring death in the face and you can make a joke about it. That's gallows humor.
Oh, so what you're saying, it's witticism in the face and in response to a hopeless situation.
Exactly. Yes.
Such as being on the gallows.
Are we not hanging out together?
Yeah, so just to, there we go, yeah. yeah, so anyways, just a more in-depth definition is comedy that manages to be funny in the face of and in response to a horrible, deathly, tragic, dramatic, perfectly hopeless situation. Gallows humor is humor in the face. Oh, that just says the same thing. Okay. Yeah, we get what gallows humor is. But you might not know this, is that gallows humor actually originated by people convicted to death on the gallows.
Right.
Which is people being hung for crimes or not crimes they committed.
Or did not commit. Ah. Yes.
Yeah. There we go. Kind of their last words on the gallows before the hangman. pulls the gallows switch.
Because that is kind of a tradition. You get to have your last words before your execution.
Yeah, that's right. So gallows humor, I guess it would be in the genre of comedy called black humor, which is not blue humor. Dude, Scott, what is black humor?
Black humor, well, you know, we said it's comedy about tragic circumstances. You know, like if you were to make a joke about Nazis, that would be kind of black humor, as opposed to blue humor, which would be, that's just a little risque. It's a little edgy, as you'd like to say.
The edgy humor, which I read, I think it was back in vaudeville, and we could do a whole episode on this, is when they had the jokes that were a little off color, little risque.
Right.
I think the proprietor would write down the jokes and deliver them in a blue envelope, or there was something to that effect.
Really? Oh, that's kind of interesting.
And that's okay. where blue material. Yeah, we'll do a whole episode on that.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
But again, I think this is more like a short episode that we're going to focus on kind of like the last words of people condemned, where they chose on the gallows or execution block to go for the humor.
Yeah.
To have their last words to be a witticism.
Leave them, like, close with your good stuff, dude. That's
yeah.
What it is.
Leave them laughing. Leave them wanting more. Leave them laughing. Now, this isn't a gallows. Well, it is in the genre of gallows humor, but this man wasn't convicted of death, only kind of metaphorically by society, by being outcast. But it was said that playwright Oscar Wilde, one of my favorite writers of all time, in the end, after being sent to Reading Prison for the crime of being gay, a little different era.
Yeah.
He was living in destitute in a cheap boarding house. He found himself on his deathbed, and it was said that his last words were, "Either that wallpaper goes, or I do."
Ah, winning to the
so,
end.
So I'll tell you what, Scott, the wallpaper stayed.
Yeah, but he's got a statue now. He's like sitting on a rock in Dublin somewhere.
And I've seen that statue. He's very camp. Yeah. In the statue, which is great. And he actually lived right across where that park, I forgot the name of the park, but his row of house or his family house was right across from that park where that statue was put up.
Okay, excellent.
In honor of Oscar Wilde, who often gets mistaken for being British, but very much so Irish.
Yeah, Irish, that's right, from the Republic.
Yeah, much like Francis Bacon. He sometimes get grouped as a British artist, again, very much Irish, though did not have gallows humor witticism on his deathbed.
Ah, I didn't know he was Irish, actually. There you go. Learn something new every day.
Yeah, there you go. So, again, the more famous people, I think the premise of this episode is just we're just going to go down the list of famous convicted criminals or not criminals. They were convicted of death.
People were put to death, yes.
Yeah, like, Scott, when you hear the words Jeffrey Dahmer, what comes to mind?
Oh, man, creepy dudes, like, killing their friends in the forest and stuff like that. Yeah, just...
I think that was just a childhood whimsy of killing his friend in the forest.
That was just...
But then it was more kind of planned out of,
then
like,
it was
random dudes he'd meet at gay bars. Yeah.
People in the refrigerator and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, in Milwaukee. Yeah. Well, I believe his day job, he worked at a chocolate factory, was that right?
I think
right?
He did, yeah. He was, like, another one of the... There was another serial killer who worked at a chocolate factory, and that was in Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was his name one William Wonka?
No. creepy, dude. Inviting all the kids into the factory. Yeah.
Ooh, like the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka. It seemed like a healthy relationship, but the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka, that was kind of very Michael Jackson-y.
He was just kind of like, yeah, I think he did it on purpose.
Was that Johnny Depp?
Yeah, Johnny Depp made it kind of Michael Jackson-y.
Yeah, yeah. So Jeffrey Dahmer, so he died in prison. He was beaten to death by another prisoner, and it was reported his last words were, and again, he used gallows humor. He said, "I used to eat guys like you for breakfast."
Yeah, because he would. Yeah, he would sometimes.
Because you know why, Scott?
Yeah, because he would eat people.
Because he would sometimes eat guys like him for breakfast.
Literally for breakfast. Yeah. Yeah, that's a crazy one. Yeah, there's actually a whole weird thing about when he got killed because like he was like. Basically, he was left alone. Then he shouldn't have been left alone with two other roommates. Yeah, there's a whole big story about that. But that would be it. Would be set for it'd be good for a true crime podcast, but not Comedy History 101.
Yeah, yeah. Conversely, not gallows humor was what comes to mind when I say the three words John Wayne Gacy.
Poco the clown.
Was it Poco? Was
Poco
that?
The clown, dude. Yeah, when he dressed up as a clown. He had his picture, taken with the first lady, with Rosalind Carter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was, and then he was established in the political scene.
He was a big wig Democrat guy, yeah.
Yep, and he also buried young boys in his basement that he lured in with trick handcuffs.
Yes.
Yeah, unlike the witticism of Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, and again, I'm just putting this compare and contrast as what is gallows humor's when not, his last words were, "Kiss my ass."
Yeah, so that's not...
That's not gallows humor.
No, he's just being mean, dude.
Yeah, because he probably meant that. So
yeah, he probably
Scott,
did.
Feel free to jump in on one of these other gallows humor. We sure. Traverse all through
that's
history
cool. we'll
on this
we'll
one.
We'll bounce back and forth. I do like
a Passover Seder.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like we bring this bread or whatever. I don't know. The salt and the bread and whatever. It's like that. Right?
Yeah.
Sababa, Tov. Okay, that was my Hebrew. Okay, let's see. I like this one. Gary Gilmore, subject mm-hmm. of a pretty good book by Norman Mailer. I think that was the Executioner song, right? That one?
Oh, is that about Gary Gilmore?
I think so. Yeah, one of his books was about Gary Gilmore.
Wow.
It was pretty good, yeah, actually. But he also the famous song by the punk rock group. I can't remember. Was that The Damned who did that one?
Gary I don't Gilmore's know, but eyes? The song was Looking Through Gary Gilmore's Eyes. Because didn't he, when he donated his eyes?
I think
he was
trying
shot
to,
by a firing squad.
Yeah, he was shot by a firing
don't
squad.
Don't chew his eyes. Mama wants an open casket.
Yeah, so he was shot by a firing squad on January the 17th, 1977, which is kind of crazy because that doesn't seem that long ago. He was, and his last words after they pinned the target on him were, "Let's do it."
Mm.
Yeah.
And what was he? What was his whole murder deal?
I don't remember. It was like he was in Utah, and like he like mm-hmm. killed. And he wasn't like a serial killer, dude. I think he just like kind of murdered, and he didn't just murder people, but he killed a couple of people, but it wasn't like a whole bunch or anything.
Oh, I think wasn't his deal that he petitioned to have the death penalty, like he wanted it.
I think he did, yeah.
And that's why it kind of like sort of stood out.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, something like that, yeah.
And because I didn't do the research on this, when did the firing squad stop? Where modern day people that want to use gallows humor involving a gun, when did that get phased out?
The firing squad?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if anybody still uses it. They might. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Everything's all. I think everything's all electric chair.
Injection.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, is electric chair even around still? I thought they were having some problems with that. Like some horrific time guy who had to,
yeah,
I mean, had to do it like three times.
It's horrible. Yeah. If they do it wrong, it's just, yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Well, Scott, let's jump a little bit back to the Edo period of Japan, which I believe was around 1604.
Okay.
According to the wiki page I'm looking at. All right. Japanese condemned criminals were occasionally executed by expert swordsmen who used living bodies to test the quality of their blade.
Ooh. And those could be samurai. Maybe a samurai is sort of testing there. Yes, okay.
Yeah, so one such person who was being told he was going to be executed by a sword tester calmly joked back in the Edo period of Japan that if he had known that this was going to happen, he would have swallowed a large stone to damage the blade.
Oh, man.
And then he was executed.
Oh, boy. Well, let's talk a little bit about this other one. We have another, let's move forward back in time again to May 25th of 1979, where John Spenkelink, his final words. Before we get to the final words, kind of interesting. Apparently, his death was a little controversial, where they had kind of went to the Supreme Court. Like after it had been
banned. You mean in Florida on May 25th, 1979?
Yes. Yeah, already said that. Already said
all right, okay.
But here's interesting because so a lot of celebrities jumped on board him about petitioning against the death penalty, including
Tony Danza?
No, man, even better. Alan Alda.
Judd Hirsch.
Alan Alda. Really? Alan Alda and Joan Baez.
Why did they jump out? Just as capital punishment is a cruel thing, and we shouldn't let these killers have some gallows humor quips at the end, which is the topic of today's podcast.
Okay. Oh wow. Okay. Interesting. Well,
wait. Go on.
Well, no. I was just reading about it. So apparently there is all these accusations of him that he was kind of manhandled and tortured. By the Florida, the guards in the thing on those before his execution, and then they thought he might have been murdered and then put on the electric chair, and then they to have that checked out, they had the coroner, the Los Angeles County coroner Thomas Noguchi, you know, and exhumed the body and checked it out, and he's the same guy that did like everybody, like Thomas Noguchi did Marilyn Monroe and.
You mean with their hand on the phone to the White House?
Yeah, and JFK, RFK. So that was interesting. Yeah. Right, that was a little interesting little bit of a side trip there. But we didn't even get to his.
We didn't get his gallows humor.
It was a little build up. And this is what John said before his execution in Old Sparky in Florida in May 25th, 1979. John says, capital punishment. Them without the capital get the punishment.
It's kind of, he went kind of like Stephen Wright a little bit on
that
one.
He was a little dry.
A little dry. But then how could he have done that if he was manhandled and then propped onto the
I don't know. There's a law. I think there's this me cursorily reading the Wikipedia page while you were talking is not going to be enough of an in-depth investigation.
I know. Sometimes our podcast turns into our sister podcast, Reading Wikipedia Pages.
I think somebody actually does that. I heard about, somebody, they just read Wikipedia pages.
Well, Scott, let's jump ahead to the 1966 and the last person to receive the death penalty in Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Which was murderer James French.
Okay.
Who is attributed with the famous last words before death by the electric chair. Wait for it. He said, "How's this for a headline? French fries."
I mean, that's pretty good, dude.
And what comedian do you think would he be delivering that?
Oh, okay,
as?
Who would do that? Okay, who would say French fries?
Maybe like he's like a Rodney Dangerfield. No respect, no respect at all. I went to the electric chair. What was the headline the next day? French fries. No respect. No respect.
I could be like Gilbert Gottfried, maybe.
French fries.
French fries. What do they call me? French fries.
So I guess we're traversing all through.
We're kind of going back
here.
And forth through history. I mean, this one. We're going to slaughter the French name, even though I'm going to France next month, I think, so I should be practicing this. Robert François d'Amiens is a French man who was attempted to assassinate King Louis XV and was sentenced on the 26th of March, 1757, and his execution, Harmon, was particularly spectacular. So this is what he was scheduled to be.
Oh, I've read this. Yeah. There was, yeah. Go yeah, ahead, okay. Dude. Go. Okay. Let it unfold. So it's just like, all right, you're sentenced to death. That's it. Just
and
death.
Here's what we're gonna do to you. So first of all, he was gonna be led to the gallows. There you go. A little bit of gallows humor.
Where he gets his gallows humor. Yep.
Led to the gallows, holding a torch with 2 pounds of burning wax. Then having his skin ripped with pliers at the breasts, arms, and legs. Then his right arm, holding the knife he had used for his crime, being burned with sulfur. Then the aforementioned areas with ripped skin being poured with molten lead, boiling oil, burning pitch, wax, and more sulfur. Just a little more sulfur, just in case. Then his body dismembered by 4 horses. Then,
they call it quartering.
Yes, quartering. Then the memories and the body of his and his corpse consumed in fire down to ashes until the ashes were thrown into the wind. And after hearing this sentence,
could I guess?
Yeah, like what did he say?
He said, "Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the show?"
No. He's close, dude. He said, "It's reported that Robert François d'Amiens said, well, it's going to be a tough day." That's
very Stephen Wright-ish.
Yeah, it is. It is
gallows humor.
These guys are all going down to Stephen Wright. Or maybe like a little Mitch Hedberg could be a little.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. There we go. Okay. And sort of along the lines of what we talked about with James French. Do you know who George Apples is? Apples.
I bet he murdered somebody and was sentenced to death.
Okay. Oh, he did first degree murder of a police officer in New York City back in the 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was executed in an electric chair in New York in 19... Oh, it says it right here on the Google Doc.
Yes. We do prepare somewhat.
Yeah. So he was said to have said, "Well, gentlemen, you're about to see baked apple."
Yes.
And his name was George Apple.
Yeah, so that's nice. That's along the
French fry. Depending on the account... he might have also said, "All the ladies love baked apples," followed by, "Damn, no power outage."
Yeah. So who would be the food? Is there a food comedian?
I don't know if like food. I think it's like the punster comedian. Okay. The play on word comedian.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it maybe like an Andy Kaufman on that?
Yeah, I don't know about that. No, he would be doing something weird. All right, we'll think about it.
Yeah, so Scott, take us back again to the French Revolution.
Yeah, I'm become like the French Revolution guy. Okay, well, during the actual French Revolution itself, you know, when things were getting all kind of crazy there, there was a gentleman by the name of Georges Jacques Danton. He had facial scars from smallpox, as many people did back then, and he was sentenced to be executed at the guillotine on 5th of April, 1794, and he is reported to have said to the executioner, "Don't forget to show my head to the people. It's well worth it."
Ah, he was kind of like a P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, I think so.
In a way, with his gallows-esque humor.
About his smallpox and his head. So it could be like a Danny Trejo, maybe, or Edward James Olmos, if he did.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, but that doesn't. What about a Sir Thomas More?
Okay, kind of famous. Yeah,
More. What do you know about him? He's from 1500s.
Yeah, he was the man for all seasons, wasn't he? That the same guy. He was like the king's. He was like one of the king's main. He was like a bishop of, was it Canterbury or something? Well you keep going on.
Opposed Martin Luther.
Yeah,
not king. The original Martin Luther.
Yeah,
and he was more opposed to the Protestant Reformation of England, I think.
Yeah, he had stuff to deal with Henry VIII, and Henry VIII was killing everybody.
But needless to say, he also implemented some gallows humor when he climbed a rickety scaffold where he'd be executed and said to his executioner, "I pray you, Mr. Lieutenant, see me safe up. And for my coming down, let me shift for myself." Aw, that's cute.
Needs a little work. Well, maybe it's old timey. It's all like old timey.
I think it's like timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, comedy is. You know what comedy is?
It's all about
timing.
Timing.
So it's all in the delivery of the line.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, a little bit about Thomas More, a little Thomas More mini expedition there. But let's go on, Harmon. Let's talk about the murderer William Palmer, and I believe this is from the 1800s around some time. He is said to have said when he was led up to the gallows again, and he saw the trap.
And this is a classic one. This is a classic one.
And he turned to the executioner and he said, "Are you sure it's safe?"
Ah, that's adorable.
Yeah,
that's
nice. Yeah.
And of course, you're familiar with Sir Walter Raleigh.
Yeah, he invented cigarettes.
Yeah, and there's a North Carolina city named after him.
Yes.
Yeah. He was beheaded though at the old palace yard at the Palace of Westminster on October 29th. 1618, and according to his biographers, his final word as he lay ready for the axe to fall, his final words were, "Strike, man, strike."
Oh, man.
Is that gallows humor, or is that just like kind of like John Wayne kiss my ass?
It's like him get it over with, man.
Oh, Scott, I'm gonna let you tackle the next one because it will lead Scott. This everyone else, plug your ears.
What?
That's listening, because it'll lead you into plugging our other podcast.
Okay, good. All right, okay. Hey, Harmon, I'll take this next one. It's about the President Ronald Reagan. Yeah, which reminds me, oddly enough, you know, Harmon and I have another podcast called This is a President, where we discuss all things presidential and presidential found audio. And if you're curious to listen to that, you can find it on Google Play, Stitcher, Last.fm, iTunes, and everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. That's This is a President.
Here. Subscribe today.
Subscribe today. Or check our YouTube channel. Okay, anyway, Ronald Reagan, he was shot by John...
Just want to clarify, though. This isn't... it's gallows humor, yes, but Ronald Reagan was not convicted of a crime to be executed.
No.
So this is a disclaimer. We don't want to be sued again.
Right. And our other disclaimer is we're not saying this is a course of action that anyone should take, no matter who is the president. We have to say that up front. Okay.
Yes.
So after the president was wounded by John Hinckley Jr. With a weapon, Reagan was reported to have made multiple quips on his way to the emergency room, including such classic lines as, "Honey, I forgot to duck," to Nancy, and then the classic, "All in all, I'd rather be in Philadelphia," and a note written.
Like a W.C. Fields line? Yeah, or W.C. Fields on his grave?
Actually, I think it might be on his. If it's on his grave, maybe somebody can check that. Maybe we can have our interns check it while we're talking here. And then I thought this is interesting. He said to his doctors, "Please tell me you're Republicans."
Oh, that's cute.
And I actually saw one, it was a live clip when I was doing some research for something. And he was
Go ahead. Because I think I have a unknown other response he had.
He was given a speech. It's on YouTube. You can find it. Maybe we can listen to it on This Is a President at some point. But he's given a speech, and you hear this balloon go off, which sounds like a gunshot. And Reagan just immediately, he doesn't duck or anything, but just immediately he just goes, you missed me.
Yeah. So I think the other quip he said in that series of three there was, honey, please tell Oliver North $10 million for cocaine.
That was a good one, yes. Make sure he writes it down.
For Noriega.
Yeah, make sure he writes it down so people can look at it 30 years from now.
Yeah. And somehow it's not a big major crime in history.
No.
It's overlooked, was the other one. So again, let's go back to the prefect of Rome. Let's see, wait, when is this? This is roughly, this is the oldest one back. So far.
Really? Okay, good.
The 258 AD is the prefect of Rome executed St. Lawrence in a, this is another interesting execution, in a giant gridiron prepared with hot coals beneath it. So they put the martyr... it was basically he was being barbecued alive.
Okay, yeah.
And no sign of coleslaw would have been the funny gallows humor line by him. But it wasn't, because coleslaw wasn't invented yet. So he was suffered pain for a long time. Legend concludes he cheerfully declared, I'm well done. Turn me over.
Haha. Yeah, that's nice. That's very... humor. I want to. So I did. Got to receive an update, Harmon, from one of the comedy history interns over here about W.C. Fields.
Yes.
Okay. So the quote actually originates from a Vanity Fair interview he did in 1925, where they asked him what he wanted on his epitaph, and he says, "Here lies W.C. Fields. I would rather be living in Philadelphia." That's what he said, but it is not on his gravestone.
Oh yeah, is he from Philadelphia originally?
I don't know. No, I think he was making the joke about Philadelphia.
Oh, kind of like it's kind of crappy.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's okay. That's cute.
Yeah, that's all right. Oh shit, dude! What's even worse is at the bottom of the page. Somebody put a picture of Baron on here.
Baron. On the bottom of our Google Doc?
I know, on the bottom of the page that our intern was using to check out the thing. Yeah, there's a... Okay, let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about Baron.
We can pause. What?
No, it's just one of those clickbait things with a picture of Baron on it.
Ah, okay.
Trump's
right,
bizarre
it,
comment
it.
About son Baron is turning heads. Let's go see. Oh, Jesus, this is the worst part.
And then you click on it, and then you have to go 20 pages deep to find the answer.
Yeah, dude. fucking Zergnet. Oh, God.
I've worked for some of those companies.
I know, dude,
they're just
horrible.
The fucking worst, dude.
Oh, man.
Anywho, we're on the home stretch here.
Yeah.
Scott, do you want to tell us about the Bishop of Rochester, Johann Fisher?
Okay, yeah. And I will, Harmon. And again, we'll have to go take the Wayback Machine to June 22nd, 1535. And the Bishop of Rochester, John Fisher, was sentenced to death. He was imprisoned in the Tower of London. They took him out to take him to the scaffold. And he asked for his shoulder cloak because he was afraid he'd get a cold.
Ah, and the irony there, it wouldn't matter if he got a cold
matter.
Or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the long run,
In the long run, it doesn't matter. Yeah, no.
Which I think takes us to our final... quip, our final gallows humor quip. And again, gallows humor, it can apply to kind of, horrible medical mishaps where you find humor in the hopeless. But, again, today we are focusing on gallows humor that actually takes place on the gallows, which brings us to Jimmy Glass, convicted murderer. His final words before being electrocuted on June 12th, 1987 in Louisiana for robbery and murder of a couple on Christmas Eve. His final words were, Scott, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm sitting down.
Do you want to say it together on three?
Okay, yeah.
One.
Wait, are you starting at one or three? Okay, so when you say
one,
three,
two, three, okay, you're okay, counting up. Yeah. Okay, yeah. One,
two,
three.
I'd rather be fishing. Okay, so
I'd rather be fishing.
I think it would be better if it was short. Yeah, I'd rather be fishing, a little short like that.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, I'm sure there's been other people doing throughout history gallows humor, and that was just sort of a rough crop of all we could find from one to two Wikipedia pages.
Well, we can start. Maybe this could be something could be, because we'll always be updating it, because, you know,
yeah,
there's still the death penalty here in the States, so we'll be able to go back and find out.
And if you are a listener to Comedy History 101 and you know of some gallows humor, please feel free to contact us through our website, Comedy History 101, or our Twitter account, Comedy, is it ComHist 101?
ComHist 101, yeah, because we didn't have enough letters.
Or our Facebook page, facebook.com/ComedyHistory101, yeah, or our Instagram at ComedyHistory101.
Yeah, so many
and
ways.
We will read your gallows humor quip on the air.
Yes, guaranteed.
Yeah, and you will get a free Comedy History 101 t-shirt, asterisk, subject to availability. another asterisk, we don't have any available.
Not yet, because we're asterisk, because we're sold out.
Because no one's sending comments.
We're sold
Maybe
out.
We'll
of
get
them,
some
dude.
T-shirts if we get comments.
We get too many comments, we can't reply to all of them. Comment, asterisk.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, with that, Scott, do you have any other takeaways on gallows humor and its place in history and comedy history?
Always leave them laughing, Harmon.
Yep, there you go. Unless you are John Wayne Gacy, who just simply says "kiss my ass" as his final word.
He buries boys underneath his house. Yeah, that's just. And
with that, I think it's time to plug away. Plug away, Scott. What do you have to plug?
Oh, Harmon. Well, as I'm sure you know, and all our listeners out there know, I wrote and produced a movie which Harmon. I wrote and directed a movie which Harmon produced called "Everything You Want to Know About Sudden Birth, But We're Afraid to Ask." That is showing all around the United States of now. Harmon will be at our screening at Doc NYC in New York City, and you'll be at the Q&A. November 7th.
Yeah, so it is November 7th, 9:45, and I believe it's called Cinepolis in Chelsea, I think on like 24th Street.
Yeah, and the screening, the showcase is punk. We're with a bunch of punk films, because it's kind of punk.
Debbie Harry, there's a film about her, so maybe she'll be there.
Maybe she'll show up.
Because I don't think she lives in New York. I think she lives in New Jersey, actually.
Oh, wow, man. Newark or
but,
something.
But it's just...
Red Hook.
No, probably not. She probably lives somewhere nice but close to that. Yeah,
Montclair.
Someone said... No, I met someone who said she's her neighbor, like growing up in New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But good chance she'll be there.
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, we'll be showing in New York. And then also, we'll be showing at the American Film Institute DocFest in, or just AFI Fest in LA at the Chinese Theater. That's kind of cool. I'll be taking the film to France next month, and that which is pretty cool. And as well, Harmon, we just heard from a certain South American country we'll be showing down there. I'm not allowed to say anything yet, but keep tuned. We'll let you know where you can catch that. Yeah, if you're
so if you say the name of the country, it will be given that they will know the exact city and film festival.
You can't just no. Just say south.
No, say it. I'll beep it out.
South of the equator. No, that's. South of the equator. You got to keep it top secret. But that's that's us. And then also, as I mentioned already, Harmon and I do another podcast called This is the President, where we have all sorts of fun with found presidential audio, all the way from President Truman all the way up to our current Commander Orange Cheeto fuckwad in chief charge. So tune in for that. You can find us at This is the President on iTunes, Stitcher, Last FM. Also on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel now where we are putting up all our videos that we've been doing. So come check it out.
Hear, hear, hear. And for me, this is going to drop tomorrow. So tomorrow, right when the day this drops, Thursday, October 24th. Is it tomorrow? No, Thursday. Okay, yeah. Thursday. No, actually,
sorry. You got a day to edit.
So Thursday, October 24th, 8 p.m. at Quimby's Bookstore in Brooklyn, located right on my street.
Oh, my God.
I'll be doing a book release performance for my new book, Tribe Spotting Undercover Culture Stories, and it's free.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
And then on the weekend, I'll be performing in Minneapolis at Dead Media Bookstore in, Minneapolis, just Google it, with my friend Paul Dickinson at 8 p.m. And that following Tuesday, October 29th, in Minneapolis, I'll be at Magers and Quinn Bookstore on Hennepin Avenue, 7 p.m.
Ooh,
and I think that just about does it for this episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. Thanks a lot for tuning in, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Yes, ma'am, I read you loud and clear. Yes, ma'am, this is... Yes, ma'am. This is the president.
Hey, everyone. Scott here. You just finished our Comedy History 101 podcast. So you like comedy and history. Then you should try out our other podcast, This is the President. In every episode, I dig up some found audio from one of our presidents and play it for Harmon, who's never heard it before. Then we talk about it. From Truman to Trump. We cover all your favorite presidents and not so favorite ones. You can also hear Harmon sounding off about current events and the state of America today. And if you're lucky, you might be able to catch us reading customer reviews of Trump products on Amazon. You can subscribe to This is the President on iTunes, Google Play, Last.fm, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Just search for This is the President, subscribe, and together, we'll make America great again.